And I'd invite you to open in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 22. As I mentioned last week, I want to consider this one verse, this one single verse, that leaves so many question marks in the mind of so many Christian parents. Proverbs chapter number 22. And we're only going to look at one verse, but I do, as we read this, I do ask you to stand out of respect to the Word of God as we do so. Proverbs 22:6 tells us this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Father, we thank you for your Word, and as we consider this verse, help us understand what it is you're telling us, in order that we might then practice it in our own lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we consider this verse, oftentimes we take it as a promise that if we'll train up our children in the ways of the Lord, the way he should go, then we take it as an assurance that that child will never turn his back on God, that that child will never backslide, that he'll always walk with God. And I wish I could stand here this morning and tell you that that is a steadfast promise of God. Because we know that it doesn't always turn out that way. That parents can do their best to train their children, and those children, exercising their own free will as they get older, turn from God. Now, an example of this would be King David's son. Now, wouldn't you like to have been King David's son sometime? He had an awful lot of boys. But imagine being King David's son, and not only just King David's son, but being the son of King David that God has put his hand upon and said, this one, of all your boys, this one is to be the next king. He wasn't the oldest, perhaps wasn't the best looking, wasn't the greatest military leader of all of David's sons, but he was the one God chose. Now, if you're David, and you know that that's the one that God has his hand on to become the next king, wouldn't you take special care and give special attention to training that young man in the ways of the Lord? I would have to assume that that is what happened. That David's best counselors, David's best teachers, invested their lives in that young man. Now we know that young man, we don't know that he was the smartest of them all, though we do know he was the wisest of them all. Of course, I'm talking about Solomon. And so as David grew in years and the time came to pass the baton to the next ruler of Israel, Solomon became that king. And Solomon, over the course of his years, would we say that Solomon's whole life involved following God, a man after God's own heart as David, his father? This same father who had invested all of his life into that boy, teaching him and training him in the ways of the Lord, the ways he should go. Did Solomon turn out right? Well, at first he did. But I think all those wives, 1,000 if you add up the concubines, I think they kind of had a negative effect on him. Now, I don't think that's the way David intended to train that boy. But there's some issues there as to why I believe Solomon turned out that way, and I think it comes out in this verse that we have before us, written by none other than that son Solomon. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I wish it was a steadfast promise, a steadfast rule that that's the way it worked. But so often it isn't, and the question is why? Well, I want to take at least 2 weeks, if not three, to look at this verse, because there's so much here. I could sum it all up in just a couple of minutes, but I don't know if that would do us the best good. What will do us the best good is to look at what God is telling us. Because I think what we do have is a principle that if we'll follow it, our children have the most chances, have the best chances, the most opportunity to turn out living for God the rest of their lives. Now this morning I only want to begin with the first two words of the verse and just take a look at that. Because everything rises and falls on these first two words. And if we miss the first two words, the whole rest of the verse becomes irrelevant. So it's necessary that we understand what God means when He says, train up that child. If we don't understand what training involves, then how can we do the training in order that they learn the ways that they should go so that they then will not depart when they grow older? So what does it mean? We're just going to address two simple questions this morning in the lines of training up. The first is just simply, what does it mean? And the second is, how do we do it? Pretty simple, but not so easy to put into practice. So what does it mean to train up? The idea of training is just simply to instruct someone in something that they don't already know, or to help someone become better at what they do know. And so there's two facets to training. Now, if I wanted to become an auto mechanic, I would have to be trained, because I don't know anything about being an auto mechanic. And so I'd have to be trained the very basics of auto mechanics. But if you know something about cars, you know how to do some things with them, it's not always a bad idea to go get some additional training. You already know how to do it, but just simply teaching you how to do it better. God says this is the job of the parent, to teach them the things they don't know, but also take the things they do know and teach them to do it better. Now that's what our educational system is all about. When they start off in the lower grades, Amy's teaching some very young children, teaching them colors, teaching them their letters, the alphabet, teaching them the very basics of reading, things they don't know for the most part until they get to her class. But then as they progress into the upper levels of the elementary, they're being taught those same things, aren't they? They're just simply being taught how to do it better, how to become more skillful in those areas. So training involves that. And when it's talking about our children, we're teaching them things they don't know, things about life and things about the Lord. Because there's a lot children do not understand. The way the human mind develops, they cannot grasp certain things at a very young age. But as the mind begins to develop, they can grasp more things, and it's our responsibility to be faithfully teaching them about God at every opportunity. Look back in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Look what it tells us there about teaching our children. Now you say, preacher, I don't have children. Well, I have children, but they're out of the house. And they have children of their own, or they have grandchildren of their own. Well, let me encourage you to personalize this, and whatever young children you have the opportunity to have an influence on in your life, because you notice it doesn't say in the book of Proverbs 22:6, train up your own children, does it? It just simply says, train up a child. Oh, maybe some of the kids sitting in the pews this morning that have come in on the church van, whose parents may or may not take the time to teach them, some of them, not even the basics of life. They just don't know. Most of them who ride the church van are not taught how, or are not taught the things of the Lord. Whose responsibility is it? Is it their mom and dad's? Of course it is. But if mom and dad's are falling down on the job, does that absolve us of the responsibility? It certainly does not. If God brings a child into your sphere of influence, then this responsibility lies squarely on your shoulders. Now, it may not be kids here at church, because I understand some of you don't know the kids very well, and some of the kids, if you tried, wouldn't even let you do anything with them. But most of us have grandkids or great-grandkids. I don't. Hopefully soon. You'll hear all about it, I'm sure. But this message, don't think just because I don't have little kids at home anymore doesn't apply. It does apply to us, each one of us in the room. Because each of us can have, if we don't right now, we can have an influence on a child's life, and we should. But look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Verse number 6, we'll begin there. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. Notice that word diligently. This doesn't mean haphazardly. This doesn't mean just when I feel like it. It doesn't just mean when it's convenient. But diligently implies effort is being put forth. Opportunities are being sought out. And every opportunity being seized. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We're talking about the idea of training up our children in the way the mind of the child develops, so when they progress in years, they're able to then grasp greater truths. We start when they're little, and we teach them that God loves them. We teach them that God created everything they see. They can grasp those small concepts. And we begin to introduce the concepts that because God loved you, He sent His Son to be your Savior. When they're real little, they don't understand the concept of sin. Although we teach them, whether we teach them scripturally or not, we teach them what sin is. We teach them no-no, and we teach them naughty. We're teaching them the difference between right and wrong. And then as they progress a little bit in years, their mind begins to develop, they begin to understand that I'm a sinner. Now, they wouldn't probably express it with that word, but they'll say, well, I was naughty. It's the same thing. They did contrary to what they were commanded to do. And they begin to understand these concepts. But if we try to wait until they get to the age that they can grasp it, they're not going to grasp it as readily. We need to lay that foundation when they're little, and when they're younger, then they can actually grasp it. And so we need to be training the things that they don't know, but also reemphasizing the things they do know, talking about them diligently all the time. Whether we're at home, whether we're out on the road, whether we're in the store, whether we're on vacation, doesn't matter where we are, look for those opportunities and seize those opportunities to talk about God. If you have a little imagination, and if you're trying, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God will help you to find these opportunities to teach your children in order that you're training them in the way that they should go. Because that's our only hope for the time that would come that they would get old, that they will not depart from it. Now, back in Proverbs 22, involved in this training up, there's two ideas being presented to us in addition to the primary idea of training up or just simply instructing. But the first idea is that of beginning early, as I was talking about just a moment ago. Begin early. Look, if you would, back in Deuteronomy chapter number 20. Deuteronomy chapter number 20. We're going to encounter the same word, the same Hebrew word, translated train up in this verse. And yet it's not going to be translated with the words train up. It's going to be translated accurately as to what God is trying to get across to us. In Deuteronomy chapter number 20, look in verse number 5. I skipped right past Deuteronomy into Numbers. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse number 5. says this, and the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house and hath not trained it? That's not what your Bible says, is it? Because it doesn't fit. That's not what God is saying. The Bible word, and the right word, is that hath not dedicated it. Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in battle, and another man dedicate it. What we're talking about is a brand new house. A house that has just been built. Probably a young man just getting started in life with his family. And so he builds a house for his family, but he's been called or summoned to a war. Because the battle, the land has been invaded, they're going out to battle, and he's been summoned by the general, and he has no choice. The house has been built, and he doesn't have the opportunity now to dedicate the house. It's brand new. And so here we have the concept of beginning early. That's why it's so important to have even our little babies in church. Whether they sit back in the nursery, whether they are downstairs in children's church, little children, little babies need to be in church. We need to start training them from the very beginning. It's interesting, if you get real literal with this word, train, you come up with the word mouth. You think, well, how does he get from mouth to train? You can kind of get that because training usually comes through verbal instruction through the mouth. But how in the world do you get dedicate? But the idea is like we would use the word mouth as a mouth of a river, the very beginning or the source. And so what God is trying to tell us here about training up our children is from the very moment that child is born, we should make every effort to get them in church. Now, I know there's certain circumstances where that's not always a good idea. Sometimes children are born and they have some health issues where it's not wise to get them out. Or maybe there's a 20 below zero blizzard going on that first Sunday. Don't bring your kids to church if that's the weather, if they're a newborn. But we need to make every effort to get them here from the very earliest of ages. The other idea built into this word, beside the primary idea of instruction, not just beginning early, but also dedicating something to God. Look, if you would, in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. Now, I believe this was the whole idea behind dedicating the new house, although we cannot find that in the scriptures that we read, nor in any other scripture. But I believe because of putting all the occurrences of this word together, that's what God is saying, dedicating something to God, dedicating that new house to God for His glory and for His purposes. And it's very evident here in this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse number 5. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, verse number 5. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 20 and 2,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people trained the house of God. Now, of course, we don't have the word trained in our English Bibles because trained absolutely does not work. It's not what God's trying to instruct us. God is trying to teach us that Solomon, as God is recording the historical event that took place, God is telling us Solomon and the people dedicated that new, brand new temple. And so again, we have that idea of newness, dedicating that brand new temple to God. And so here we have that dedication of something to God. And so when we take that thought, that idea back into Proverbs 22, that brand new baby that God has blessed you with, dedicating it to God. Just simply as Hannah did in 1 Samuel with the little baby Samuel, dedicating that baby to God, saying, he's a gift from you, and I give him back. Now, there's a preacher up in the Lansing, Michigan area that has a sermon. And the title is something like this. I don't remember the exact wording. But it's, every child comes with a note. I am a gift from God. And then he preaches on that for almost the whole time. And then he says, goes back to his title and says, every child comes with a note. I am a gift from God. And he wants me back. God wants me back. The idea that God blesses us with children, but those children are never ours. They always belong to God. And so when He blesses us with those children, we dedicate those children back to God. All of that is built in this word of training the children, and it gives us guidance and direction in that training process. We're not training them to be a super athlete. We're not to be training them to be a successful businessman. We're not to train them, and there's nothing wrong with our children being athletic and us encouraging them in that way. There's nothing wrong with us teaching them to be a good businessman. But God says that's not our prime directive. Our prime directive is to teach them how to be a great Christian athlete. Our prime directive is to teach them how to be a good Christian businessman. A good businessman and a good Christian businessmen are not always the same thing. There's a lot of business practices that a Christian should never be involved in. I remember when I worked in Kentucky. And, of course, Kentucky is right in the heart of the Bible Belt. And everybody went to the Baptist church. And I remember my boss was a part of the wooing and trying to attract customers. And they would take them out on the town. My boss sang in the choir in the local Baptist church. And I remember the day after my boss took a customer out in the town, laying in her office with a hangover. Is that how we're to train our children to be a good businessman? Certainly not. We're to train them to be a good Christian. First and foremost, whether an athlete, a businessman, or whatever they might be, dedicating that child to God. The whole idea that we have to do this implies that left to themselves, those children will not choose the right way. Children don't train themselves. Don't you love self-cleaning ovens? Don't you wish kids came that way? A self-cleaning kid. Don't change diapers anymore. He'll do it himself. Don't ever worry about that messy room. It'll take care of itself because he'll do it. Doesn't work that way, does it? And it doesn't work in the Christian realm either. Those children don't come out fine, sparkling Christians, saying yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and saying, can we go to church now? And oh, mom, it's Sunday morning. I got myself up at 7 o'clock. I took a shower, even washed behind my ears, got breakfast, got my Bible, my suits on, my ties on, and I'm ready to go. Most parents don't experience that. Most parents have to prod and pry and get their kids up and go back and change. You're not wearing that to church type of a thing. You see, they're not going to choose that way on their own. And it's our job to train the children that. Now, that child may not be yours, but you can sure love on the kids that are here. And you can sure encourage them being church. You can sure love on your kids, your grandkids, I should say, or great-grandkids. Say, why don't you come with me to Sunday school next week? I'd sure love to have you there, and Jesus would sure love to have. We need to take these things seriously. That's why a generation gets missed, is because we're not practicing the truths taught and just simply training our children. This is our responsibility, whether we want to have this responsibility or not. Because every child does come with a note. I am a gift of God, and He wants me back someday. Every child does come with that. Now, not all the parents are fulfilling their responsibility. Does that mean God doesn't want them back? Certainly not. It then becomes our responsibility to see that God gets them back. Now, I haven't even begun the second question of how is this done. And I'm just about out of time. And so we'll pick this up next week. But what does it mean to train up our children? It means we give them instruction. They're not going to learn it on their own. Hollywood's sure not going to teach them. The school system is forbidden to teach them by the way the laws are interpreted today. Never was the intention of our founding fathers, but that's the way they're interpreted today. It means not only do we teach them, but we start right away. It's been said that it's never too late to start. You can never start too early. But if you've neglected it for years, get started now. And dedicate that child to God, whether it be a little one or whether it be up in years. In prayer, just simply say, God, this child was a gift. I know you want them back. I know that they're adults now, or I know they're a little older in years. I'll just simply do what I can. I'll try my best. I may have wasted some years for one reason or another, but I'll do what I can from this point forward. Won't that be your desire today? Father, we thank you for your word. We all want to have successful children. Children that if you were to look down from heaven upon their lives, you'd smile upon. Father, this one verse teaches us so much about how that's possible. But Father, now as we come to the invitation time and we consider these thoughts, Father, just meet us where our needs are. And Father, may we be willing to make decisions with tender hearts, because we're talking about our children. Not someone else's, but our own. Or our grandkids, not someone else's, but our own. Or our church kids, our van kids, not someone else's, but our own. And Father, help us to have a burden for these kids, to train them in the way they ought to go. And so, Father, help us to make that commitment this morning during the invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.